Hello and welcome to the Business Brain Podcast.
Brought to you by the Business Brain Program. We're the only podcast in the world to give you genuine business superpowers. We're your hosts. I'm Ollie Thompson.
I'm Honor Ibrahim. Enjoy the show.
What's happening? What's happening?
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? We're going to do a podcast, Ollie. You
know? We are. Yeah.
What do you want to talk about today? You know, we've had a theme for emotions, regulating emotions, managing emotions.
I
think we need to talk a little bit about using, because emotions play a big part in leadership and in management.
Yeah.
Especially when you're giving people instructions. How they react to your emotions, how you react to their emotions. This is really, really powerful and really important stuff. And it's the foundation for motivation, really.
Yeah.
So I think we could have a little chat about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So basically, when you, as a leader, your job in modern business, more so now, is not to manage people and not to necessarily manage their tasks, but it's actually to lead them towards outcomes. Because when you're distributed, which is, as you know, a common word now, you need to understand that all your team members that you've recruited, for good reason, because they're talented and trustworthy and responsible and intelligent and smart, you've recruited them for those reasons. It's now more valuable to nurture that talent through coaching and guidance and emotional regulation and planning and all that sort of stuff towards an outcome. And so the first place you've got to start is, what's the motivation behind the outcome? And how can you connect their personal motivation to the outcome? Because when you do that, they can self-regulate, can't they? Because if you're motivated towards a cause and someone's giving you the drive and desire around that outcome, you'll do generally what it takes to get there, won't you? So It kind of removes the old-fashioned leadership of micromanagement and task management, because you want people to be self-contained, don't you?
I also think there's another level to that. I think the level is you have to allow people the time and space to reflect.
Yeah.
Like, how are you feeling? How are you genuinely feeling about this thing that you've been asked to do? How are you feeling about your output? Are you happy with it? Do you feel it's sufficient?
Yeah.
Do you feel it's right? Do you feel it's wrong?
Yeah. Is it in your control?
Is it, do you feel like it's a waste of your time? Mm. And there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, we, quite often in organizations, the helicopter view sees things one way, but the boots on the ground sees things a completely different way.
Yeah.
And I think good, nimble, innovative organizations listen.
Yeah.
And we often talk about gut feeling, don't we? What's your gut tell you? What's your gut? What's the gut brain telling you about this outcome or this activity that you're doing? And actually, speaking up takes emotion.
It does, yeah.
And the emotion there is fear or embarrassment.
Yeah. Insecurity.
Insecurity, yeah. Or are they going to think I'm overstepping my bounds? They're going to think I'm stupid. Is it a silly question? You know, all these kind of things, right?
Mm.
And then the other person's thinking, oh, crikey, this person's speaking up. They've never done that before.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the boss. No one's allowed to speak up against me. And it creates a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stress that we're seeing with people that we're coaching is actually created by that whirlwind.
And
it's a whirlwind of non-communication.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good that you raised that point, because I think there's two sections to leadership that people quite often don't fully appreciate, understand, or embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And it links exactly to that, which is, I have a lot of conversations with leaders around having difficult conversations. People tend to avoid difficult conversations because they get very emotional And it's very much them versus us, or my opinion versus your opinion. And obviously, you know, difficult conversations just by definition means it's not going to be a pleasant experience. And we want pleasant experiences. We avoid difficult ones and unpleasant ones.
Just calling it a difficult conversation
right.
frames it. It's right. not difficult because you can't speak or you're speaking different languages.
Yeah.
It's difficult because you don't know how to regulate the emotions that are going to come out.
Well, that's exactly the point, right? Which is what I tend to try and do with leaders when it comes to these difficult conversations is reframe how they see it in their heads. And so it's not a difficult conversation. It's a meaningful conversation, right? Because it is. That's why you've got to have it. But you've made it difficult. It doesn't have to be difficult. And when we make it difficult, what we tend to do, because again, this is the second part, as old-fashioned managers, leaders need control and power and status, because that's important. That's how they've been bred to be. You know, it's all very hierarchical. Whereas if you have a modern environment where people are distributed and you need to understand the different nuance of how people think and the different personality types, you need to understand that actually a team is very flat. And it's about outcomes, and it's about time and space, and it's about emotions, and it's about personality, it's about talent. So you've got to have a meaningful conversation to understand what makes that person tick and how you can connect what makes that person tick to the job that they do and the outcomes that you need as a leader as well. Because quite often businesses have different outcomes to people who are employed by those businesses. But actually now they need a clearer vision, mission, and set of values that connect to the well-being and attitudes of the people they're recruiting. Because modern business owners and modern employees need that synergy, don't they, really, to make it work because of the distance between the two. And people find that very difficult. It's not necessarily difficult. It's just really important. And we've got to learn to coach in those conversations, coach in those values, draw out those behaviors and connect them and synergize with the leader and the team. So we're all on the same page, working in the same way or similar ways in the same direction.
You're 100% correct. And this is, you know, we talk about collective values and the values of the organization, the values of the situation, the values of the individual.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be perfectly aligned to be in synergy.
Mm.
They just have to be understood and accepted. And if you're working for an organization that has 180 degree different values to you, then you're in the wrong place.
Totally.
But if there's a 30% variance, you can find common ground and you can relate to those values.
Mm-hmm.
And I think values is a really, really important topic. And we should probably talk about that in our next podcast, actually, because values also drive emotion positively and negatively.
Yeah.
But I think the organizational vision has to stem from the organizational values. And without listening to the teams within the organization, understanding their emotions and what the outcomes are they're trying to achieve and the emotions those outcomes bring, some positive, some less positive. If you don't control those emotions, control's a strong word. If you don't
manage
those emotions or you're not aware of them, quite often that's where conflict arises.
Yes.
And as long as everyone is bought into the same organizational values, whatever the variance, be it 30 degrees from their values or 90 degrees from their values, as long as they're not completely opposed, you will find a common ground and you'll go in the same direction.
Yeah.
And I think that is the difficult thing to coach. That's probably one of the hardest things to coach. It is because it's a huge topic. And sometimes people don't want to do things.
Well, Anna, this is one of the big issues, actually, in businesses. And people listening to this podcast, as soon as I mention this, they'll go, yep. And it is when you own a business and you're trying to grow and develop the business, especially in difficult periods of time, which are very challenging, you tend to want a tribe of people that you can trust and rely on. And they tend to be the loyal people who've been doing the job for years and years, right? And they turn up regularly and you have very few issues with them and they do a decent job with their customers or with the team members, with the product and the service. And then what you do is you want to keep those individuals because they're the DNA of the organization. So what do? You give them more money and you promote them because they're the two basic fundamental things we believe that will keep people motivated, right? Those intrinsic business beliefs that we have. Give them more money, promote them to a management position. And of course, what happens is they go, yeah, 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 it's more money and it's more seniority and it makes them feel good because they can look at themselves in a nice way and go, you know, I'm making progress because we love progress. The problem then is if you don't invest in the right training, coaching and development of those individuals in the leadership space, and you just expect them to know what leadership is and they don't self-manage, self-regulate and self-coach, what you're going to create is someone who has done the job really well and then transfers that knowledge and that skill of how to do the job to everyone else. But that's not their job. That's not their job. Their job is to decide and define how that person needs to generate the same outcomes in their own style, in the way in which the culture and the strategy of the business works. And so leadership is about helping people follow you in the right way, but do things in their own unique style that still gets their outcome and keeps them happy and keeps their well-being maintained. And what you tend to find is it's not because they're the dark side of personality, but what you'll find is these new leaders, or even sometimes experienced leaders who've been in the job for a while but haven't had any development, they keep on repeating the same old patterns because that's what they know, and they haven't expanded their awareness to understanding how the uniqueness of individual personalities and skills need to be nurtured as we move forward.
Do you know my favorite part of this job?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part of being a coach and helping people is when you see that light come on.
Yeah, yeah, the light bulb moment. Yeah, I love that.
I love it. You know, when you see that leader who, they were top of the class, you know, they were the best person in that role. They got promoted, they got given that management job, and then they suddenly, these negative emotions started coming out due to frustration and stress and not understanding the change in their role.
Yeah.
And personal development's a huge thing in promotion. But when that person finally realizes that actually their job is to be a nice person and their job is to motivate, not to manage, and that light bulb comes on and they get it, and you just see the satisfaction and the job satisfaction, the productivity, you know, the output, everything just comes together and just increases multifold.
It does. Yeah.
That's my favorite moment.
It is.
When you see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And
all of that stress of the previous months, years, whatever, just evaporates and is forgotten.
Well, the thing about leadership is it is about creating those light bulb moments, isn't it, in other people, right? And it's about developing talent and creating outcomes. Those would be the two things. Develop the talent so they can create the outcomes. And I think there's, with leadership, look, leadership is a nice title. However, I can tell you, I've been there, I've done it, I've trained hundreds of people in leadership as well, that it is a tough gig because actually it's a day full of problems. Those problems are built around people, around time, around process, around customers. And so people come to you because they've got a problem. Now, if you're not prepared for that, then there's two sides of personality. There's the light and the dark, right? And it depends on if you can't regulate yourself when there's problems and when you're stressed and when you're under pressure and if you can't manage time and if you can't be efficient and effective and learn how to communicate when under pressure and stress and as I said, regulate yourself, then you're going to have dark personality traits popping out left, right, and center. And this is where you see lots of good people, their personalities shift when they're in a leadership position or in certain scenarios because they want to maintain that control and keep themselves sane almost. And so rather than be productive and be something of an inspiration, you tend to see these, not necessarily narcissistic tendencies, but you will see some dark personality traits come out in various guises, maybe unintended. But they don't know another way. So they haven't got a choice. So what they do is to keep that control and power, they pick that sort of behavior and it doesn't help.
Let's just contextualize dark personality traits. This is not dark in terms of Marvel and DC movie dark. This is negative traits that person didn't know they were exhibiting. Things like frustration and anger, raised voices, disciplinary letters, things that do not push the organization forward, but instead keep things as they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lower morale. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we mean, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can go into the common dark personality traits from a psychological point of view, and that's a whole different conversation. For example, narcissism, right? But actually what we're talking about here is leadership and just this little spikes of simple behavior that you could class as dark. I wouldn't necessarily say they're negative, because sometimes you need, for example, you know, if there's conflict happening or if someone's done something that is unacceptable, sometimes it's not necessarily dark or negative, but you might have to be very direct with that person, which may make them feel a little bit under pressure or threat. But that might be what's necessary to help them understand, because being rational, they're not getting it. Okay. So when I talk about sort of dark leadership traits, you know, I sometimes talk about things like, you know, in meetings, there's something called HIPPO, which is the highest paid person in the room's opinion, right? And so what tends to happen is, because they have this, not everyone, but sometimes people want the control and they see themselves, they go into this meeting predisposed to have their own opinion agreed with. And of course, everyone else who's following them goes, well, that's their opinion is really important compared to mine. And actually, leadership is the opposite. It's not about the highest paid person's opinion in the room. It's actually about collating and being open-minded, everyone else's opinions, and helping them as a team come up with ideas and solutions that may actually be just as good, if not better than yours. It may be that your idea is better. It may be, but you put that into the box with everyone else's at an equal level. And so that means that they are part of a team and they can collaborate and they feel connected to the cause.
Ironically, you know, pre-coaching, the HIPPO in the room is the one that comes up with the idea.
Yes.
Post-coaching, the HIPPO becomes a facilitator.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, modern leadership is about coaching, as we know, and we talk about a lot. And coaching is all about not giving the person the answer, but trying to draw out ideas, concepts, thoughts from that person. Sometimes, though, you know, as a coach, you do have to be quite straight to the point. If you think that that person's not coming up with something, and you think that with all your experience, because it's valid, that there may be a different way. I think modern leadership is the two types of coaching: guidance and extracting those ideas. But sometimes as well, when you're short time, you need to start leading them towards an idea. But it's getting that balance right. That's the difficulty.
It's not wrong
no.
for leaders to have ideas, because they used to be in that job most of the time. They were experts and they got promoted because they were really good at their role.
Yeah.
So they should put ideas forward.
Yeah.
And they should come up with solutions. And in the coaching world, we call that mentoring. Because a mentor is someone who's been there, done that, and is now passing on their knowledge to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mentoring is just as much a valuable part of leadership as coaching. However, what we've realized is the coaching side, leading them to an answer or leading them to a solution, sticks more.
Yes.
It lands with more power.
Yeah, because they've come up with it. So mentoring is, as you say, slightly different, which is, you know, you've been there and done it and they want to learn off you. And that's great. You can be a mentor as a leader. And then a coach is extracting their ideas and thoughts and their solutions and guiding them with a bit of help and assistance towards a better outcome. Absolutely. I think it's important to define the two different things.
So closing argument for today, what should we leave people with? What's the one exercise they can do right away?
Well, I think the first thing is, as an exercise, what I would say is always work towards outcomes as a leader and drop the ego off at the door, right? And your job is to become a mentor and coach. So if you've been there and done it for years, show them the way. But at the same time, I would start off with asking them how they think they would manage and lead towards this outcome. And I think it's a set of questions, which is, why is this outcome important? Define the outcome to me. Tell me about why it's important to you. Tell me about how you're going to achieve it. And tell me about what we're going to do together to get there. What's the timeline looking like? What are the parts of that timeline? And together, what are we going to commit to that's going to take us there? And that includes what are the obstacles and how we're going to overcome them. Now, that is a meaningful conversation. And that's where you can become a coach and a mentor.
Agreed. Agreed. That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, let's leave them with that.
Yes, mate.
Yes, mate. Until next time.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Thank you so much. Thank you.